Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, for those that are brand new, so glad that you're here in the room and online. We have been in a series called Miracles, and this is the finale, part number 4. And I was out this past week, but Pastor Dante did such an incredible job preaching the house down this last week. Yeah. Talking about Lazarus. You know, this commentary, just one quick little thought on Lazarus. Like, this commentary has talked about, you know, when Jesus calls Lazarus out of the grave, there's a reason why he's the name Lazarus. Because if he didn't say Lazarus, everybody would have came out of their graves, man. Just incredible Walking Dead style. Just Jesus had to be specific. Lazarus, just you. Come on out. So awesome job, Pastor Dante, this last week. And so this last Sunday he spoke, but then this past Tuesday, I'm a part of a Men's Connect group here at the church, and we've got some business leaders and even some that are here in this service. And, of course, we had others that were in first service. And what we do in our Men's Connect group is we take the Sunday's message and we discuss it. Like, we take it deeper, and then we also pray. And I got to tell y'all, even though it's virtual, it's through Zoom, we had some church up in our Men's Connect group this past Tuesday talking about Sunday. And here's what's happened, which is really incredible, is throughout this series, we haven't just been talking about miracles. Jesus is doing miracles in the house. How many of y'all know he has not closed up shop? Like, he has not quit the miracle working business. He is still doing miracles. And so literally, we had a church moment in our Connect group through Zoom where guys are talking about, man, I got a job. We had money come through that had been months delayed. It finally came through. A new business being launched. And I got in on the party. And I want to share something with you here before we jump into our text. But I shared a miracle in our lives personally, my wife and I, this past Tuesday. We've had many people praying with us. In fact, a lot of people here in the room, because our third child, our youngest, Lucy, who's 10 months old, she hasn't been sleeping. And 10 months of no sleep is not a good thing, right? And so literally 30 minutes or an hour at a time at most. And so really, really difficult challenge for us. And we've been praying, you've been praying, and we even had some friends of ours help us out with this program and all this kind of stuff. Well, I came here to testify. It may not be a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to us that she is now sleeping through the night, every night. And if you don't care about that, then it don't matter because you don't have the mic, all right? And I'm just telling you, it is a game changer for us. If I got a little extra pep in my step, you know why, okay? And so we're so grateful. I'm telling you, big and small, God does it all. He is still in the miracle-working business. All right, let's finish our series. I got a word for you. Turn to Mark chapter 10, if you would. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 46 and go all the way through verse 52. And I'm going to read out of the NIV. So in the room, online, if you've got a Bible with you or one close to you, grab it. Mark chapter 10. Now, if you got a different translation, more old school, that's fine. You'll be able to hang around with us here, follow along. But Mark 10, verse 46, here's what it says. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. I love that. "Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, notice what he calls him, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. We're going to stop there, but keep your Bible open. If you've been around for a little bit, you know we go through verse by verse through the Bible, and so keep it open. We're going to reference back to those verses we just read. But if you're taking notes, I'm calling this message, Throw it off. Just throw it off. Let's pray. Jesus, God, we've got so much to celebrate today. Palm Sunday and your triumphal entry, God, as you came on a donkey and people laid down their cloaks and their coats and they laid down palm branches. It's a sign of honor and respect. And they shouted out loud, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And God, today we remember and we celebrate really the beginning of Holy Week, heading towards Good Friday and also Easter Sunday. This is a big deal for us. As I pray on this Palm Sunday, God, that you would speak a word, such a timely word, a powerful word. I pray for every single person underneath the sound of my voice, God, that we would all leave here saying, you know what? Man, I met with Jesus. Man, I learned something today. Man, God really encouraged me. God, we pray that for every single person. Speak because of me and in spite of me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, it's interesting to me how everywhere that Jesus went, there was a crowd. You notice that reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and of course this story as well. Like everywhere that he went, right? There was a crowd of people. And think about it. Like Jesus, he didn't have any kind of a marketing strategy, right? Like he was like not trying to get his name out there or anything like that. He had no PR company trying to help like him build his brand. Have you noticed everybody, by the way, with like a social media account with 100 followers or more, they think they've got a brand? No, you don't have a brand, okay? But like Jesus wasn't worried about his brand or anything like that. If anything, if you've read the Gospels, you know this. A lot of times, Jesus would hide away from the crowd. A lot of times, he would do a miracle, and he would tell the person to not say anything to anybody. So it's almost like, yeah, he did marketing, but anti-marketing, right? Like trying to lower the crowd, trying to hide away, but yet still, the crowds kept following him. Well, why is that, Pastor? Because when you meet someone who shaped the earth, who shaped you and formed you, when you meet someone who is master over all, who's a miracle worker, who's the Messiah, you can't help but follow him. You can't help but be loud about it. You can't help to, I just want to be around Jesus. And so here he is in this text, the very beginning, and he's got what you could call an unwanted posse, right? He's got people that are following him that he's probably going to hide off away from here in the near future. And just he's got this crowd that's with him. And the Bible says what? That he is walking by, him and the crowd, walking by Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus, of course, doesn't see Jesus, but he hears Jesus. He hears the commotion. He hears the Lord's voice. And what does he do? He shouts, right? He shouts out loud. He shouts out to God. He says, Jesus, Son of David. He stops trying to get another handout, and he starts shouting out to Jesus. But the crowd doesn't like it, do they? Have you noticed that about crowds? The crowd can be fickle. The crowd doesn't like when you're trying to reach out for help and better yourself, right? The crowd didn't like the interruption. They're like, man, Jesus is busy, right? He's got somewhere to go. He's got things to do. He's busy. And so what do? The crowd, they tell Bartimaeus to shut up. Like, you be quiet. He's got better things to do. You shut up. But I love what verse 48 says, if you got it open. It says this. He didn't give up. He shouted out even louder. He turned up the volume of his praise. He turned up the volume of his worship. And this tells us something right here. Here's the first point if you're taking notes in church. Number one is this. Don't you dare stay silent on things you should shout about. Come on, let it speak to you personally. Don't you stay silent on things you should shout about. Here's this crowd, and they don't like the commotion. They don't like the interruption. They don't like, I mean, they want Bartimaeus to stay blind and broke. Here's what's interesting about the crowd. Not only is the crowd fickle, but the crowd will turn on you quickly, won't they? All of a sudden, they'll be singing your praises, and that's happening in our culture. And the next day, trying to cancel you, right? One day, man, you're awesome. Man, this is incredible. And the next day, hating on you. And this happens with the crowd, right? They tell them to shut up, They tell him to be quiet. He shouts out even louder, and then Jesus stops and turns toward Bartimaeus and says, hey, call him, right? And then what do they say, the crowd? They change real quick. They say, cheer up, Bartimaeus. We know we were telling you to be quiet a second ago, but you just cheer on up, man. Get on your feet. He's calling you. The crowd is fickle. I'll say it to you this way. When it comes to the crowd, anytime you don't further their agenda, anytime you don't help their bottom line, they'll try to silence you. They'll try to silence you. They'll try to quiet you. They'll try to shut you up. And so let's make this personal. You know, I just wonder today, do you have anybody in your life that's trying to silence your praise? I wonder, do you have anybody in your family or your close group of friends, or maybe even somebody in your past that's trying to quiet your prayers, to silence your audacious, out loud faith in God? Man, I don't know about that. I don't know. You should probably be quiet about that. No, no, no. You should not stay silent on things you should shout about. He shouted even louder. Jesus, Son of David. Who do you have in your life that's trying to keep you blind and broke, friend? Who do you have in your life that's trying to keep you stuck on the side of the road, begging for change your whole life just to get you through Tuesday? I'm telling you something you already know. The crowd will try to silence you and stop you from getting to Jesus. But here's what I pray. I pray today, we don't have to wait till Easter weekend, y'all. I pray today that the Holy Spirit would light a fire inside of you, that no one would shut you up when it came to Jesus, that no one would quiet your worship, that even if culture tries to cancel you, those heroes behind the keyboard, right, trying to make you lose your job, or even if your coworkers say this, or your boss says that, or your family makes this assumption, that no one would shut you up when it comes to Jesus, that you would shout out even louder. Do not let the crowd silence you as you run after Jesus. Bartimaeus, friend, he refused to miss his miracle. He refused. It's not going to just happen for other people like I've heard about. I want my miracle. Jesus, I need a miracle in my life. He wouldn't let Jesus just walk on by. So he shouts out to Jesus, but please hear me. It's not just important that he shouted, it's what he shouted. He wasn't just making noise, friend. What'd he shout out? You got the text open, right? You're following along with me. We're learning, we're growing, we're studying together. What's he shout out? He shouts out who Jesus is. You see, other people called Jesus by his hometown, Jesus of Nazareth. In fact, you see it in the text. That's how people referred to Jesus. Can I tell you something that maybe you don't know? That was a radical put down, a obnoxious, horrible slur back then in those days. Jesus of Nazareth. Why is that a big deal? Here's why. There was even a common saying of the day. What good can even come from Nazareth? Well, someone pretty good came from Nazareth, Jesus. But it was a put down, it was a slur. And so check this out. Most people called Jesus by his common name, but Bartimaeus called Jesus by his royal name. He shouts out, Jesus, Son of David, referring to him being the Messiah, the one they had been waiting for, the royal bloodline. Can I tell you something? It's not just that you shout. There's a lot of people making noise in our culture today. It's what are you shouting? So what are you shouting? What gets you stirred up? Is it politics and COVID-19 protocols? There's a lot of people still a year into this thing, still caught up in that. The election, last time I checked, is over. Still, there's a lot of people stirred up. And can I just tell you something, just bring you into the pastor world for just a second? This last year has been weird for all of us, of course. But as a pastor, I've been doing this for over 10 years, but never seen a year like this past one. And here's what I'm referring to, is that this last year I've had so many people, like text messages, emails, in person, wanting me to make a public stance on things. Like, Pastor, you need to make a stance on these openings now that we're 100%. Pastor, you need to make a stance on these vaccines. We got about 3 or 4 of them, and I want to know, in writing, what do you have to say? Pastor, I'm telling you, it's weird. It's weird. Pastor, like, what do you say about that politician? What do you think? I don't know that person, but what do you think about their policies? And I'm telling you, this year, people are constantly wanting you to shout about other things. And can I tell you something? That if you're looking for the public opinion pastor, if you're looking for the politics pastor, this is not the pastor you've been looking for, okay? Some of you caught that Star Wars reference. That was just for you. But that's not me. But I won't be loud about that, but I'll be loud about something. Can I tell you what I'll be loud about? Jesus. Jesus. Last time I checked, no politician ever saved my soul. Last time I checked, COVID-19 does not reign in my life. Last time I checked, Jesus is the Savior of the world. Yeah, there's a lot of people shouting right now, but I'm going to shout about Jesus. Is anybody with me? Don't stay silent on things you should shout about. This cancel culture's got so many people scared. If I say this, or if I stand up for this, I'm telling you, you stand up for Jesus and you'll never go wrong. Don't play to the crowd. The crowd's fickle, man. They'll love you one second and they'll hate you the next. They'll celebrate you one second and they'll toss you aside the next. So don't try to appease the crowd. You focus on Jesus. You reach out to Jesus. He's the miracle worker. He's the one that we all need. Don't let anyone silence our worship and our prayers. If you need a miracle, and we got people in the house today, you need a miracle. If you want freedom, if you need help, don't let the crowd silence you. You should shout out to Jesus even louder. Here's a second point from the passage. Number two, give up what you can't keep to gain what you can't lose. Give up what you can't keep to gain what you can't lose. Now, total transparency, I stole that line from somebody, okay? I should say I borrowed that line, right? I borrowed it. I'll give it back one day. But it originally comes from, it's part of a quote, almost the whole thing, from Jim Elliot, an incredible missionary that has since passed that gave his life for the gospel. Really be a good study for you if you're interested in missions and missions work. Incredible what he sacrificed for the sake of the gospel. And the whole quote from him is this: he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And so this idea that Jim Elliot was talking about that we see in this passage is this: that what we have here on earth, whether it's a lot or a little, it's all temporary, friend. Like you can't take it with you into eternity. We can't. But when we experience life found only in Jesus, that's forever. That's eternal. It can never be taken away. And Bartimaeus knew this. He knew this. You see, in the middle of the story, if you got it still open, around verse 50, Bartimaeus has not yet experienced the miracle at this point. It hasn't happened yet. But in verse 50, he does something so amazing, so surprising. Maybe you even missed it. Before he gets to Jesus, what does he do? He throws off his cloak. He throws it off. That would be a good title for a message, right? He throws it off. He casts it to the side. He puts it behind him. He does not let his cloak get in the way of him getting to Jesus. He throws it to the side. Now, maybe you're thinking today, well, what's the big deal, Pastor? So what? He lost his jacket. I got to tell you, it is a big deal. It's a very big deal. In fact, a lot of people that study the history of the day, the area that this was taking place, many people believe that this beggar's coat was actually issued by the government. It was government issued, which would mean that the coat qualified him to collect alms. It essentially certified him and let people know that he wasn't just some hustler begging for coins and all of a sudden he was going to walk a few miles away into his $40,000 car, right? Like he was legit. Which, by the way, I think we should bring the beggar's coat back to Houston. Like, seriously. Like, wouldn't that be an easy way for us to know if somebody was serious or not? Like, if they really needed help or if they actually made more money than we do, right? And so that's what they did, the beggar's coat. So many people, as they look at Bartimaeus, they say, you know what? This was more than likely government issued. It was something that signified, it was a sign, it was a label to everyone else that he could, in fact, beg for money. Now, for the sake of argument, Because it doesn't say that explicitly in the text. So for the sake of argument, even if this exact coat that Bartimaeus had wasn't government issued, it was still highly valuable to him. That's not a debate. You see, for a lot of people, their cloak was their most valuable possession. They were often expensive, thick, heavy garments. And the average person, it wasn't like us, friend, where you got a closet full and you're like, oh, I don't have anything to wear. No. Wasn't like that back then. The average person had one of these. In addition, the person in that time, they would use their cloak to protect them from the environment, to protect them from cold weather, and they would also use it as a blanket at night. And so think about it like this. At the very minimum, his cloak was his source of protection, his sleeping bag at night, and quite possibly his only way to get money at all. But when Jesus calls him, he throws it off. When Jesus calls him, hear me. When Jesus says, come forward, you want your miracle, you come here. He doesn't keep it just in case. He didn't let it hinder him from getting to Jesus. He doesn't keep it just in case this Jesus thing doesn't work. No. He throws it to the side. And if you read the whole story, you don't see any place where he goes back for it. Why? Because he doesn't need it anymore. But what did he do? He prays before his breakthrough. He threw it off before he experienced the miracle. He cast it to the side. He said, you know what? I don't need that old way of life anymore. I'm about to encounter Jesus, the Messiah. And if he says, see, I'm going to see. If he says, eyes open, my eyes are going to open up. He's the miracle worker. He's the Messiah. He calls him Rabbi, right? Which means master. Literally, how Bartimaeus sees Jesus, and this is how we should see him because this is how he is. That Jesus is the master over every situation that we face. Blind eyes, Jesus is master over that situation. Cancer, COVID-19, business just fell apart. Jesus is the master over your situation. Not only did he hang the stars, but he cares about you and me. Whatever's over our head is still under his feet. He has all authority, all power. What are you saying, Pastor? He is still in the miracle working business. But here's what's happening. I feel the Holy Spirit right now. There's some conviction taking place. Here's what's happening in our world. What's happening is that we are holding on to that old way just in case. What if he didn't come through like he did for somebody else? I've been praying for that miracle for a while. What if it doesn't happen? Y'all know it's easier to believe God for a miracle in someone else's life than it is in our life, right? Because we're the one in the situation. We're the one facing the obstacle. So I just wonder, what is it in your life that you've been holding on to that Jesus is like, you need to throw it off? Someone shout, throw it off. Come on, what is it? What's that thing holding you back? Maybe it's a relationship that's ungodly, not honoring him. Maybe it's fear or anxiety or worry. Y'all know, like as parents and grandparents, we make worry cute. We make it seem like it's a godly thing. I worry about my kids because, you know, they're my kids. And I worry about my grandkids because they're my kids' kids. Friend, worry is sin. Don't try to make sin look cute. Worry is you taking your situation into your own hands instead of trusting it in God's hands. That's convicted somebody right there, didn't it? You felt it. It's okay. God loves you. That's why he convicts us. So don't put a cute face on it. So what's holding you back? Like, what do you got to throw off in order to get to Jesus? Maybe it's a secret sin. You're married, your spouse doesn't even know. It's ugly and it's dirty and you're not proud of it. And you regret it every time that you partake in that sin, but it's there. Can I tell you something? You're only as sick as your secrets. You got to bring that before the Lord. He knows it anyways. Maybe for someone else, it's a habitual sin. Not like, oh, I messed up last week. Like, it's a part of your rhythm. It's constantly disobeying what God's called you to do. You know better. Can I tell you, friend, just being honest with you as a pastor, and I didn't say this last service, but the longer that you disobey what God's asking you to do, the more hardened your heart gets. And eventually you turn into Pharaoh. In the Old Testament, where God gave him chance after chance after chance, and then eventually God says, okay, you do your thing. And God gives you over to that hardened heart. What are you saying? You're in danger if you have a rhythm of your life in one area where you're constantly disobeying Jesus. Like, you can't use that excuse where you didn't know. You know. Just receive that for what it is. I didn't say that last service. But what's holding you back? What do you need to throw off? What's going on in your life? Lack of unbelief. Lack of belief. What's going on in your world? Man, I've been hurt by the church. Or, man, this area, I didn't think it was going to end up like this. And, man, I thought it was going to go this way, but it went that way. Like, what's holding you back? Throw it off. Cast it to the side. Love this about Bartimaeus. He throws it off, and then what's he do at the very end? He follows Jesus. He didn't go back to that old life. He didn't go looking for that cloak. He didn't go get him a normal job now that he can see. He follows Jesus. Off what hindered, he runs towards Jesus, he gets his miracle, and then just like that crowd, he won't leave Jesus' side. Nobody's going to get between me and Jesus. Nobody's going to stop me. Why don't you close your eyes with me? What's holding you back from Jesus? Maybe it's that secret addiction we talked about, habitual sin, fear, anxiety, or worry. Maybe it's your old lifestyle. Maybe it's a label that others have put on you. Realize that Bartimaeus's coat, his cloak, it was a label. It was a symbol. People saw him and they knew what was going on, what the issue was. That's why the crowd tries to silence him. Can I tell you something, friend? The only person who gets to label you is the one who created you. That's Jesus. So even though others maybe have put labels on you, well, he's a screw-up just like his dad and his granddad, or she's a nobody, who does she think she is? Or, man, they're never going to get over that. That issue's always going to be there. Oh, man, did you hear what's going on in their marriage? I know people try to label you, friend, but no one gets to label you but Jesus Christ. That's right. Can I tell you what his label is on your life? Son, daughter of the King, loved one, holy nation, royal priesthood. That's you. So I don't know what it is, but you got to throw it off. You don't hold on to it just in case. Throw it off and follow Jesus. You don't need a handout anymore just to get you to Tuesday. You've got a chance today to encounter Jesus, the miracle worker, Rabbi, the Messiah, Jesus, Son of David. Today could be your day. Pastor, I've been praying for years and it hasn't happened yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I got to tell you something, friend. Why couldn't today be your day? You shout even louder to God. I don't know what's holding you back, but you need to let it go. Throw it off. Here's what I want to do. I know I had you close your eyes. Would you stand to your feet with me here in the room? We've been ending these messages a little different than we normally do, and that's on purpose. I just know this. We got people in the house today online. You need a miracle. You need a miracle. People try to silence you, shut you up, belittle you, but you need a miracle. But you got to throw off the cloak. You got to throw it off and go after Jesus. So here's what we're going to do. Tony's going to lead us in just like a chorus or two of that song, Praise Before My Breakthrough. Because that's what we're about to do. Bartimaeus threw off his coat, remember, before he experienced the miracle. So we're going to go after Jesus for a couple of moments, and then I'm going to pray for some people. And that's how we're going to end today. Tony, would you lead us?
He who came in power, he will come again. He who heals the sick, won't he move?
Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's just a physical struggle with a knee or a hip. Like, I don't know what it is, but I'm here today to tell you that Jesus, he is a miracle worker. Yeah. Let's not just talk about miracles. It's time you experience a miracle in your life. And so with all eyes closed as you're standing here, if you need a physical miracle, a physical touch, would you lift up your hand to the Lord right now? I want to pray for your hands all over. Jesus, we pray right now for a miracle to take place. God, we believe in faith that God, you are a miracle worker, not just back then, but also today. And so may you move in power right now. We don't hold anything back. We throw off the cloak. We throw it off. We cast it to the side. Whatever's been holding us back, and we run after you right now, and we cry out at the top of our lungs, Jesus, we need your help. Give us your mercy. Pour out your grace. May you heal. May you set free. May you restore. May you bend back together, not just what it was, but even better than it was before. No sickness, no disease, no cancer has any authority over you. You are our rabbi, our master. You are master over every situation. May you do it now. May you do it now. God, we believe in faith. May you do it now. Do it. Thank you, Jesus, that you stop. Crowd wanted you to keep on going, but you stopped. Thank you that you're doing that right now. Thank you for your healing power that's flowing. Put your hands down, keep your eyes closed with me. I'm going to pray for one more group before we give you a chance to come down to the front if you want specific prayer. But I want to pray over one more group. Your eyes closed with me. But if you be honest with the Lord and you've been battling fear, anxiety, or worry, maybe for some it's all the above, let's be honest. You've been battling that and you realize today, man, that doesn't honor God. I want to be set free. If that's you today, would you lift up a hand to Jesus? Hands all over. Jesus, we pray right now for those in the room online. Jesus, we pray that you would heal, God, not just physically, but mentally. We cast out in Jesus' name, in your name, all fear and all anxiety. We cast it to the side in Jesus' name. We pray, God, that all the anxiousness and all those repeating thoughts that's recycled over and over again, what if, we pray it all go in Jesus' name. And we pray, God, that you'd replace it with good thoughts, lovely thoughts, thoughts of you. And I pray, God, that there would be a supernatural trust that raises up from within of every single person with their hand lifted, that I know that it's over my head, but I also know it's under God's feet. I trust him. I trust him. He knows best. He's never failed me. He's never left me. He's never turned his back on me. I will trust. I will believe. And I will praise no matter what. God, may it go in Jesus' name. All fear, all anxiety, and all worry. bring healing mentally. I didn't pray this last service. This is for somebody. And this one, you've been struggling sleeping, and Jesus is saying, I've come to give you rest. Come to give you rest. If that's your word, you grab hold of it. You don't let anybody take it from you. Jesus, may you give rest to those that have struggled to sleep, mind wandering, frustrated, eventually get up and pace back and forth to lie back down again and nothing's changed. Almost feel like they've got insomnia a little bit, just it's that real, that big of a struggle. And Jesus is saying today that he wants to give you his peace, his rest. Will you trust him? Will you trust him? Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. So grateful. I love you so much. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.